I'm reading from Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We pray, Father, that you will touch our hearts, that you will prepare our hearts this morning for your message. Lord, I pray that you will remove anything that might distract us from hearing what you have for us today, Lord. I pray for the pastor that you will speak through him to us, Lord, and be with us this morning. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. As most of you know, my wife and I own a business. I am a bivocational pastor. We have our own business. My wife hates doing one thing per year, and that is taking a big piece of paper, many papers, and making an inventory of our stuff. And you know, if you've been to our store, you know that it's not 10 things we have. We have maybe 20,000 little things that she has to go through. And inventory time is a time that she doesn't want to think of. And I believe every one of us should go back in our life and look back and make an inventory of the things we have done or we have not done or should have done, and we then decide what to do the following year or coming year or the new year. So we all are responsible to someone. I believe we are accountable to someone. I am accountable to many authorities. I'm accountable to the federal government, accountable to the provincial government. I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to you. I'm accountable to my children. But more than all that, I'm accountable to God. And we must not forget that. So we are accountable. You may be accountable to your wife, friend, husband, parents, boss, teachers, and friends. But unfortunately, most of us, most people forget that they are accountable to the ultimate authority, God, our Creator. The rich man of this story in Matthew 25:14-30 was going away for a long journey. And so he called his servant. These servants were live-in servants, part of the household. That means that, you know, they didn't just come in the morning and left at night, but ate there and walked there and slept there. So they were part of the household, and gave them their final instructions and some money to each of them, and told them to stay and work while he was away. And I believe God has done that to us, with us too. He has given us a lot of gifts, but I will come to that later. But let me just say what these talents are. It says, and he gave one talent and two talents and five, for example, talents. The term talent first was used for a unit of weight. Excuse me. The term talent was used for weight. 75 pounds would make a talent. And then this was used for money. One talent was equal to 60 minas, and two minas was equal to 100 drachmas. Now, drachmas I know because that's the Greek money, drachmi. And 100 drachmas was a lot of money. So when we read that he gave $1 talent, it's not just a dollar, it was 100 drachmas, which was a lot of money in those days. Today, talent indicates an ability. In other words, he asked them to run the business because he intended to go away but then come back. He gave each one according to his ability. Verse 15 says, just as the talents gifts God gives us are personalized, the money that he gave them was according to their own ability. It is usually pride and selfishness that makes people to desire and envy the talents of others. I mean, listening to my sister-in-law, you would say, oh, I wish I could sing like her. Well, there's nothing I can do. I don't speak like this person. I don't play an instrument like that person. I'm not smart. I'm not good-looking. I'm not strong. We all have things to blame for not being active in our life. But God knows what he is doing. God knew exactly what to give to each one of them, and it was up to them now to work on that. There are four things in the story that I would like to bring to your attention this morning. First, the master's kindness. This master did not have to do any of that. And the master could have said, well, stay here and keep an eye on the house and clean the house and do whatever. But he actually was very kind, and he said, more than just clean the house, because you'll be living in there while I'm away, more than just eating the food that I have, because you have to eat, more than just enjoying the house, you can enjoy the animals and you can enjoy everything here, but I also want you to use this money in a very profitable way, and when I come back, I'll ask for an account. So the master's kindness is seen in how he treated his servants. The servants' slaves had nothing. Slaves did not even own their own bodies, let alone riches. And they had no claim on their master. In other words, their master owed them nothing. Yet he, in his kindness, gave them the riches to use, his riches to use and produce. They were allowed to use everything in that household. And I believe that is so true in our own daily life. Our Creator, God, has given us everything to enjoy. God has given us the sun, the moon, the stars. He has given us water. He has given us air to breathe. He has created us in such a way that we can enjoy all that. And Jesus came to this earth and lived with us on this earth for 33 years. And when he left, he said, I will not leave you like orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit. So he is still here, but he physically is not. But he said, I'll come back. I'll be back. And when I come back, I will ask questions. And I will ask you to give an account of the gifts I have given you. And all these gifts have to be used in such a way that will produce fruit. Second, the servants who improve their talents. And then we see in this picture three kinds of servants, or at least three servants. They got down to work right away. And some people have been given gifts. For example, someone has the gift of writing. And then one day he discovers that there is a better way of living by writing things to help others. And all of a sudden he finds God and he finds a new life and he surrenders his life to the Lord. And then he knows that he has a gift that can be used for his glory, but says, yeah, I give up writing. I'm going to follow Christ now, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to come home and read the Bible and go to church, pray, and then come home and sort of live a very quiet life. Though he will be like the man who took that dollar or that gift and buried it in the ground. He has to use the gifts that God has given him. He cannot bury them. He cannot ignore God's gift. The work was faithfully carried on. They did not stop or slow down using their talents because their master was not around. And that's very important. These servants, first of all, they just didn't go to a bank like our banks these days and say, okay, I want a term deposit receipt or a term deposit, and I want a deposit of 500 drachmas, and I'll come back in a year from now and you'll give me the interest. No, it wasn't like that. There were money changers and they had tables, and you would have to be very active. Go from one money changer and change your money, get some interest, and then go to another one. There was a lot of activity involved in increasing that amount, that money that his master had given them. So the first one we see, he got to work. He said, 500 drachmas, a lot of money. What am I going to do with that? I better try and multiply it or double it. They were very successful. They actually doubled their talents. Whatever was given to them was doubled. They were ready to give an account, and that is very important also for us, because we don't know when God is going to call us home, and then we are to give an account of our talents and our gifts. If your gift is to visit someone or visit people and pray with them and encouraging them, if your talent is to be willing, you know, there are some things I could never do. I said to my wife, I'd be a lousy doctor, a lousy nurse, a lousy caretaker, because I can't stand pain. I cannot. And then there are others. I remember my mother would go and help people with bloody and would perform all kinds of homemade operations and things. She's during the war, I remember, and after the war, people were given all kinds of medication, but they had to find a nurse to give the injections. And I remember my mom saying to my dad, I want to learn how to do it, therefore I can help, so I can help others. And my dad said, oh, what are you talking about? You are only a seamstress. You know how to push the needle through the cloth, but not through the flesh. She said, no, I'll learn. And guess what she practiced? We had a goat, and she took the thing, and she started, and poor goat. And my dad would say, you're going to kill that goat. No, I just want to... But you see, it's not the same. The doctor is here, the nurse... We have a few nurses. Well, at least one. And you know that it's not the same skin. It's very hard. And I'm sure the first time a human being got that needle, I think it was me. But anyways, it must have been very painful. But my mom learned, and then and even in Montreal, she would go and say, oh, if you want an injection, I'll do it. Now, the doctor is hearing this story and say, oh, no, I mean, look. But they did it. And she did it. And she would go and change the souls of sick people, but I could not do that. So I don't have that gift. But maybe David has the gift of cooking nice meals. And he should use that... I'm sorry, David. He should use that gift for the glory of God. I don't know how or where. Every one of us has gifts. So the story here is for us to learn what God's requirements are from each believer. They were ready to give an account. And when their master came, they were rewarded generously. They received praise. Verse 21 says, the master said to them, well done. And again, that's what the Bible says. When we are about to enter in the kingdom of God, God will say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. And we want to hear those words. And some people don't believe in that. Some people doubt that. But we cannot change people's hearts and minds. But we can change our own attitude toward God. So they received praise. Well done. And then they received promises. He said, I will put you in charge of many things. And thirdly, they received glory. Come and share your master's happiness. And I believe this applies not only when we die, after we die, but even on this earth. God will bless each one of us when we start using our gifts for the benefit in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the benefit of others. He will hear the Holy Spirit talking to us saying, well done. Have you ever called someone who was sick and prayed with that person, and when you finished praying with that person, you felt such a satisfaction? You felt good that this other person felt good praying with you. And that person felt that is not ignored, is not forgotten. That is receiving praise now. And then promises. God has promised that when we honor him, he will honor us on this earth. And then glory, God always honors those who honor him. First was the master's kindness. Second, the servants who improved their talent. And thirdly, the servant who buried his talent. Excuse me. Now, I don't know how many of you may identify with this man, but there are many who can easily identify themselves with this third person. The one who received the talent and went and buried it. He just dug a hole and buried it. How many of you have gifts that are buried and no one knows them? How many of you have just dug a hole in the ground of life and buried the gift of singing, the gift of writing, the gift of fixing things, the gift of praying, the gift of being nice and smiling, the gift of millions of kinds of gifts there are on this earth? But I'm sure you have some of these gifts in you, and have you dug a hole and just buried it there? You know that there are many people in churches who may sing better than the soloist, or may play better than the organist, or may speak better than the pastor, or may write better than the clerk or the author of a book in the church, but no one knows that because they have buried that beautiful gift in the ground and they just are not using it. There were at least five things that characterize this unfaithful servant. First, ungratefulness. Although he is living on and consuming his master's riches, he does nothing to improve nor plans to improve his personal account. He buries his talent. I believe God has given us a lot of things that we enjoy daily. Your health. Who do you think your health has given it to you? Well, if you don't believe in God, you say, well, that's nature. But we believe that our Creator is also our sustainer. And God has given us an earth. He has given us a family. He has given us a church. He has given us all kinds of things we enjoy. So when we hide our gift and we don't use it, we become just like this man who buried his gift. First was ungratefulness. He wasn't grateful enough to serve his master. Secondly, indifference toward the master's wishes and the talents that his master entrusted him were just buried. He showed indifference. You know, a lot of times I believe we, the Christians, the born-again believers, those who have the Bible in under our arms and we attend the church and we are willing to say how wonderful Christ is, often we are indifferent when it comes to the needs of others and God's requirements in our daily life, because we enjoy too much the things that we enjoy. Number three, idleness. He does nothing. How many of us are convicted from time to time for being idle and not producing fruit? Number four, neglect of duty. While the other servants were using their talents, gifts, he was probably doing nothing. Well, maybe he was having just too much fun doing nothing. Today, it could be just having too much fun doing things that give pleasure to the flesh, or to the soul, or to the spirit. Meaning, I'm talking about pleasure now, not service. And some people, I know one situation, and I've shared it with you, I think, once. A couple of years ago, I was talking to someone who called me and said, you know, I have this friend of mine that she will appreciate your phone call. She's going through a very difficult period of time. So I called this lady and I talked to her the first time and she didn't share much. And then the second time she said, you know, Pastor, I've got a big problem. I said, what is it? She said, my husband, about a year ago, he became... We are believers, but he became involved in some kind of a situation that is, he quit his job, she said, Pastor, and now he is upstairs reading the Bible for about a year. All he does is takes notes and reads the Bible and comes down and tells me some things and then goes up and reads the Bible and then makes notes. And for a year, he has become useless in the family. And I wanted to speak to him, and she said, no, he doesn't want to talk to anyone because he's busy now reading the Bible. So he was enjoying reading the Bible. I don't know how much spirituality there was in there, because the Bible doesn't say that, and God does not say that all we have to do is just read the Bible and read the Bible for a year. The Bible says, he who does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an infidel. That means a husband has, and a wife, and mother or a father has to provide for their family. One way or another, God has made them, or for one reason or another, God made them responsible for their family. And so there are those who will enjoy too much doing something. That could be physical pleasure, that could be emotional pleasure, it could be even spiritual pleasure, but we're not on this earth only to get pleasure out of things. We are here also to make sure that others are benefited from our existence on this earth. And God will hold us responsible for our family families, of course, and then for the spiritual family, and we are our brother's keeper, actually. The Bible says anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. That's James 4:17. Foolish reasoning. I knew you are a hard man, he said. He was looking for excuses. Today is even worse. How can we ever please God, we say. And I've heard that asked. How can I ever please God? Who am I to even try? God can use someone else. I have heard people say and continue saying that I'm not suited for this job. And you remember Moses tried that, and God was very angry at Moses when he said, I stutter, I have a speech impediment, I can't do it. And then he said, I'm old, I'm 80 years old. And then God said, don't worry about that. And then Moses said, you know, this, and how would they know I come from you? And he kept giving God excuses. And finally Moses ran out of excuses and he said, you know what, God, send someone else. Why are you sending me? And God said, no, I want to send you, but I will give you a helper. You know, Aaron became more of a problem from time to time than good. So sometimes our excuses are blocking our way to glory, if you wish. Number four, accountability. Rewards to the faithful ones, but awful punishment to the unfaithful one. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 1 Peter 4:5 says, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The response of the master makes it very clear that regardless of what the amount they received equal rewards. He said, or to both of them, I will put you in charge of many things. Just because you feel you have too little gifts, it doesn't make you any worse than the other person who has 50 gifts. The bottom line is that God wants you to be faithful to him. God gives us talents to use. All of us, without exception, have talents. Some have obvious talents, others have hidden talents, some have many gifts, some few, but we all have talents to use. The rewards are based on our faithfulness and not on how big or impressive our gifts seem to be. But to the unfaithful servant, his master said, you wicked, lazy servant, take away that talent from him. And he stripped his unfaithful servant of all the privileges and talents given to him. But that was not the end. He had to pay the price of being unfaithful. Forget about the stars at this point, as Elise sang, will you have any stars on your crown? Forget about those crowns. He had to pay a high price for being unfaithful. What a terrible ending, verse 30, it says. And the master said, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If this man had earned one talent, with his talent he would have received the same kind of reward as the others. Instead, all he had to show for in his life was a hole in the ground. Is that what we will show to God, a hole in the ground? Something that God gave us, we took that gift and hid it and never used it, and then the end came and all we had to show was a hole in the ground. I'm sure that there are many lessons to be learned from this story, but I believe that the main purpose Jesus told them this story was to make them and us understand that there are only two kinds of servants. the faithful and the unfaithful, and that no one can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. Let's listen to what Joshua said to Israel's leaders and people. And I quote from Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now, fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, said Joshua. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unfaithful and unprofitable Christian. Being a Christian involves more than playing it safe and doing little or nothing. It demands a service that produces results. God does not want us to be successful by the world standards. He wants us to be faithful. Are you faithful? Am I faithful? If there is one resolution we must make for this new year, it should be the following. I want to be a faithful servant and serve joyfully and effectively. I'll repeat that. I want to be a faithful servant and serve joyfully and effectively. May I leave you with Apostle Paul's words this morning? Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your gift. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our salvation. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending the Holy Spirit that is in us and works through us and in us. But Lord, you expect from us to be faithful and produce fruit. Not necessarily, Lord, to run all over the place and start churches and have crusades, but you want us to be faithful in whatever you want, in whatever or wherever you want us to work and produce fruit. Father, be with us this morning. Strengthen each one of us. Reveal to us the gifts that you have given us and we have ignored them or have you hidden them somewhere, and help us to use them for your glory and in your name. I pray, Amen.